Give me a break. Coming to you from Riverside, California, this is the LifeSpring One-Year Bible, formerly the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, and podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is a daily podcast where we'll read through the entire Bible in a year, and today is Epistle Sunday, so our reading is 1 Corinthians 15 and 16. Title of today's episode is It All for Nothing? Also, being Sunday, this is one of the days that we share prayer requests and praises. Before we read, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for this treasure, your word, the Bible, because in its pages is the answer to life. We pray that you would bless our time as we read. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, are you ready? Let's get started. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to remember the good news I told you. You received that good news message, and you continue to base your life on it. That good news, the message you heard from me, is God's way to save you. But you must continue believing it. If you don't, you believed for nothing. I gave you the message that I received. I told you the most important truths, that Christ died for our sins, as the Scriptures say, that He was buried and was raised to life on the third day, as the Scriptures say, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12 apostles. After that, Christ appeared to more than 500 other believers at the same time. Most of them are still living today, but some have died. Then He appeared to James and later to all the apostles. Last of all, He appeared to me. I was different, like a baby born before the normal time. All the other apostles are greater than I am. I say this because I persecuted the church of God. That is why I am not even good enough to be called an apostle. But because of God's grace, that is what I am. And His grace that He gave me was not wasted. I worked harder than all the other apostles, but I was not really the one working. It was God's grace that was with me. So then, it is not important if I told you God's message or if it was the other apostles who told you. We all tell people the same message, and this is what you believed. We tell everyone that Christ was raised from death. So why do some of you say that people will not be raised from death? If no one will ever be raised from death, then Christ has never been raised. And if Christ has never been raised, then the message we tell is worth nothing, and your faith is worth nothing. And we will also be guilty of lying about God, because we have told people about Him, saying that He raised Christ from death. And if no one is raised from death, then God never raised Christ from death. If those who have died are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised from death, then your faith is for nothing. You are still guilty of your sins. And those in Christ who have already died are lost. If our hope in Christ is only for this life here on earth, then people should feel more sorry for us than for anyone else. But Christ really has been raised from death, the first one of all those who will be raised. Death comes to people because of what one man did, but now there is resurrection from death because of another man. I mean that in Adam, all of us die, and in the same way, in Christ, all of us will be made alive again. But everyone will be raised to life in the right order. Christ was first to be raised. Then, when Christ comes again, those who belong to Him will be raised to life. Then the end will come. Christ will destroy all rulers, authorities, and powers. Then He will give the kingdom to God the Father. Christ must rule until God puts all enemies under His control. The last enemy to be destroyed will be death. As the Scriptures say, God put everything under His control. When it says that everything is put under Him, it is clear that this does not include God Himself. God is the one putting everything under Christ's control. After everything has been put under Christ, then the Son Himself will be put under God. God is the one who put everything under Christ. And Christ will be put under God, so that God will be the complete ruler over everything. If no one will ever be raised from death, then what will the people do who are baptized for those who have died? If the dead are never raised, then why are people baptized for them? And what about us? Why do we put ourselves in danger every hour? I face death every day. That is true, brothers and sisters, just as it is true that I am proud of what you are because of Christ Jesus our Lord. I fought wild animals in Ephesus. If I did that only for human reasons, then I have gained nothing. If we are not raised from death, let us eat and drink, because tomorrow we die. Don't be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. Come back to your right way of thinking and stop sinning. Some of you don't know God. I say this to shame you. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they have? These are stupid questions. When you plant something, it must die in the ground before it can live and grow. And when you plant something, what you plant does not have the same body that it will have later. What you plant is only a seed, maybe wheat or something else. But God gives it the body that He has planned for it, and He gives each kind of seed its own body. All things made of flesh are not the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds have another, and fish have yet another kind. Also, there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the beauty of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the beauty of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of beauty, the moon has another kind, and the stars have another. And each star is different in its beauty. It will be the same when those who have died are raised to life. The body that is planted in the grave will ruin and decay, but it will be raised to a life that cannot be destroyed. When the body is planted, it is without honor, but when it is raised, it will be great and glorious. When the body is planted, it is weak, but when it is raised, it will be full of power. The body that is planted is a physical body. When it is raised, it will be a spiritual body. There is a physical body, so there is also a spiritual body. As the scriptures say, the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam is a life-giving spirit. The spiritual man did not come first. It was the physical man that came first, then came the spiritual. The first man came from the dust of the earth. The second man came from heaven. All people belong to the earth. They are like that first man of earth. But those who belong to heaven are like that man of heaven. We were made like that man of earth, so we will also be made like that man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers and sisters, our bodies of flesh and blood cannot have a part in God's kingdom. Something that will ruin cannot have a part in something that never ruins. But listen, I tell you this secret, we will not all die, but we will all be changed. It will only take the time of a second. We will be changed as quickly as an eye blinks. This will happen when the last trumpet blows. The trumpet will blow, and those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we will all be changed. This body that ruins must clothe itself with something that will never ruin. And this body that dies must clothe itself with something that will never die. So this body that ruins will clothe itself with that which never ruins. And this body that dies will clothe itself with that which never dies. When this happens, the scriptures will be made true. Death is swallowed in victory. O death, where is your victory? Where is your power to hurt? Death's power to hurt is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But we thank God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, stand strong. Don't let anything change you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. You know that your work in the Lord is never wasted. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save, as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I am going through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you, or even spend the winter, so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work, as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. But concerning Apollos, our brother, I encouraged him greatly to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints, that you also be in subjection to such men, and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunaeus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The greeting is in my own hand, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, he has to be accursed. Maranatha, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. In chapter 15, Paul addressed the most important aspect of the Christian faith, the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. All other major religions have a founder who is dead, but the tomb of Jesus is empty. The unthinkable happened. Jesus' tomb only held its occupant for 3 days. Why is this so important? Because with his resurrection, Jesus proved that he has the power over sin and death. What's more difficult, to come back from the dead or to forgive sins? Of course, to come back from the dead is more difficult. So if he can do that, then he certainly can forgive sins. Paul said, "If Christ has never been raised, then the message we tell is worth nothing, and your faith is worth nothing." And he said, "If Christ has not been raised from death, then your faith is for nothing. You are still guilty of your sins." And quoting Paul once more, "But Christ really has been raised from death, the first one of all those who will be raised." Now, allow me to take a little side trip here. I have a lot more to say about whether Jesus was actually resurrected, but I want to address Paul's statement here where he said that Christ was, quote, "the first one of all those who will be raised," unquote. Some people have asked me, what about those that Jesus raised from the dead during his ministry years? Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, and others. And there was even some in the Old Testament, the widow of Zarephath's son in 1 Kings 17, the Shunammite woman's son in 2 Kings 4, the man raised out of Elisha's grave in 2 Kings 13. How could Paul say that Jesus was the first one of all those who will be raised? Well, the difference is that each one of those people died again. When Jesus arose, it was permanent. Paul was saying that in Christ there is eternal life. Jesus was the first to come back from the dead into everlasting life. And because he lives, we who are his have everlasting life. So now, let's talk about whether Jesus actually died. Some say, oh, come on, a dead man coming back to life? Give me a break. He didn't die on the cross. He only passed out. Well, at first blush, that sounds like a possible explanation. But consider this. The Romans, who were the executioners, were very, very good at this method of killing. Jesus was not the first person to be crucified. This was their preferred method of execution. They crucified thousands of people. It was a very effective way to display their might and cruelty to those they wanted to keep in subjection to them. So to think that they couldn't tell the difference between a dead man and one who had merely passed out is just simply ludicrous. Especially given the fact that Jesus had been beaten to within an inch of his life before being hung on the cross. The blood loss from the scourging he received was very significant. And don't forget the spear that pierced his side. In order to be sure that he was dead, a Roman soldier stabbed him in the side. And what came out was water and blood, an indication that the membrane around Jesus' heart had become filled with fluid as a result of what is called hypovolemic shock, which was caused by the scourging. Jesus' body had lost so much blood that the heart had to work overtime to try to pump the blood that wasn't there. The fluid also gathers around the lungs during hypovolemic shock. So when the Roman soldier stabbed Jesus with a spear, he probably pierced a lung and a heart. Yes, Jesus did die on the cross, and he rose on the third day. Over 500 people saw him alive after the resurrection, and when Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, he said in essence, "Go ahead and ask them. Most of them are still alive." Yes, Jesus is alive, and because he lives, we who call him Lord will also live. We possess, even now, eternal life. Our bodies will die, but not our spirits. We will live with him forever. Hallelujah. Death has no victory. The grave has no sting. What are your thoughts? Tell me what you think. Call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511 or comment at comment.lifespringmedia.com. Of course, you can email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow is the Law Monday, and we'll read Exodus 9 through 12. Travis Hyatt donated $25 with this note. Found you through No Agenda. Thanks for the podcast. Well, thank you, Travis. Great to have you in the LifeSpring family, and God bless you.
LifeSpringMedia.com/support.
Prayer requests. The son-in-law of one of my friends is a deputy sheriff here in Riverside County, and this past Friday afternoon, he was in an officer-involved shooting. Let me read the news item to you. Quote, the Riverside County Sheriff reports on January 13, 2023, about 4:20 p.m., Deputy Darnell Calhoun responded to the 18,000 block of Hilldale Lane in the unincorporated area of Lakeland Village regarding an unknown trouble. As Deputy Calhoun approached the residence, the suspect began shooting at him, and a deputy-involved shooting occurred. As an additional deputy arrived, the suspect engaged with him with gunfire as well. The suspect was ultimately wounded and taken into custody. Deputy Calhoun sustained life-threatening injuries and was rushed to a local area hospital by sheriff's deputies. Deputy Calhoun was later pronounced deceased. The suspect was transported to a local area hospital and treated for his injuries. The suspect is in critical condition. The deputy involved in the shooting will be placed on paid administrative leave according to department policy. The name of the involved deputy will not be released at this time. Unquote. So, beloved, there are several people here to pray for. First, the family of the fallen officer. I don't know a lot about him except that he was just 30 years old and left behind a pregnant wife. We also need to pray for the deputy that shot the suspect. Since his name is being withheld at this time, I won't repeat it here. I don't know him personally, but I do know that he's a good man who loves the Lord. I've known his wife since the day she was born, and she's an awesome woman of God. I do know that being involved in a shooting is a really tough thing for police officers, and so he does need our prayers. And we need to pray for the suspect, that he turns his life over to God. Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, for your justice, and for your mercy. And we pray for the people who have been and will be affected by this shooting. We pray for the family of Deputy Calhoun. We pray for his wife and unborn child. She needs you now like never before, Lord. Hold her close to you. Comfort and strengthen her. Give her wisdom. May she be surrounded by loving family now, and for this yet-to-be-born baby, we pray that you would protect him or her as they grow up without their father. Cover this family, Lord, with your grace. And for the other deputy, I know that he has a great support system in his family, so we thank you for that. I pray that as he replays this tragic episode over in his head, as I'm sure he will, that you'll be with him and help him as he deals with what happened, and help him as he deals with the grief of the loss of a fellow deputy. Comfort and strengthen him. Give him wisdom. And Lord, for the suspect, he obviously needs to know you, and I pray for him that you would send someone to share the gospel with him. Touch his heart, Lord, and make him a new person. May he feel the gravity of what he's done and be driven to his knees in repentance. Bring conviction to his heart and mind. May he know no peace until he comes to you, Lord. And now, Father, I thank you for the LifeSpring family, and I ask you to bless each one today.
Lord, help each of us to walk closer to you each day and be sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our next time of prayer will be this coming Wednesday. Call in your prayer request or praise at 951-732-8511 or go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com, where you'll find a really easy and quick form to fill out there. I'll pray for you in my personal quiet time, and we'll pray together right here on the show. Thanks to the team, Kirsty, Denise, Michael Hainer, Scott Snyder, and Jason Pascal. Thank you guys for all of your help. And thanks too to Travis Hyatt for his donation today. And I forgot to thank Anonymous and Michael Hainer for their donations yesterday at the end of the show. So please forgive me for that. Thank you too. And now, until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thanks so much for inviting me to be a part of your day. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
The LifeSpring Media family of programs are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Thank you.